The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Ha ha ha, 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 pal.
Scusi, bab, scusi, scusi, babbity boopy.
Benjamino is the only Scongini left here. The others have all gone over to a Chinese restaurant close by the factory.
Just wanted a little change. Benjamino, you go down and stand around the Lister bag down there at the other end of the studio. And we'll wait for the rest of
it. We'll give him the fast one, two, usher out. So long, Benjamino. Hearing that the Allen Bow. Would you like to hear that?
Yeah, I think that would be that goes Benjamin.
Love is a beautiful thing.
Frank Cotolo. He just talks and 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 talks.
Scusi, Babbitt.
Hello, folks. This is Amy. And this is the Yankee Stadium you're looking at. There's always a lot of excitement here at the Yankee Stadium. Let's take a look in the lower stand. I think you'll find the Kingfish and Calhoun sitting there.
Maybe what are you saying? I know what you're doing here. I know.
How many strikes has he got on him?
Two.
Glass and Claws booth, this is Molly Ballou again. You can hear the reactions to Molly from accounting as she attempts to finish burn, as we call it. But I don't think she will, and I think it would be much better if we called on Richie Haven.
I bought an engagement ring, and now I got to shop around for a gal to get engaged up with.
Yeah. Ain't no sense in letting a good ring go to waste.
Yeah, look at that. Ain't it a beauty? Oh, that one. This?
Easy again, Andy.
Wait a
minute.
All aboard! All aboard!
Oh,
have absolutely no excuse for being here at this time.
That's Mr. Toll over there. Oh. You know what I mean?
Not one excuse have I. Broadcasting, the one, the only COKOLO will be chronicling for you, oh, extra specially on this show. Neo-postmodernist, you sunburnt sicklemen of February, welcome. Welcome. Helmets and face masks are not mandatory, but please buckle up. Buckle up. Get ready. Turn on it. Tune in. Naturati supple curvers. Supple curvers. Couple surfers. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. And you can imagine that trip in every bordello. Into every bordello. Imagine what's going on in there while they're listening to me. People who shouldn't even be there, but it's going on. People who shouldn't even be listening to this are listening to this. My name is Frank Atolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of this show. Chronicling into history. I think we've already done that. Please, please, no applause. Keep it down. We've got 2 hours of some fascinating broadcasting. In fact, we're going to turn the clock back. That's what they say. Turn the clock back. I don't know, back to the future, all that junk, you know. But I want to tell you this, that before we can talk, I had a million different ways of starting this show today. If you read the blog, you have an idea of what I'm talking about. If you didn't, you have no idea, and probably never do have any idea what I'm talking about anyway. But I had a number of ways to do it, if not a million, maybe it was 100,000. It was in the hundred thousands. It was like six digits, I think, somewhere along the way. I stopped counting, you know. So I figured there must be more, because those things tend to multiply. And I said to myself, you can't just start the show off as if it's a completely different show, because people will tune out. You don't want people to tune out. You want them to tune in. And people who are used to listening to this show will expect a certain opening, a certain even though it has its variations. And those who are listening for the first time, whether it's on their smartphones, their dumb phones, their mediocrely intelligent phones or whatever, they're saying to themselves, what the hell's going on here? So I decided to talk a little bit before and then glide myself into this absolutely this idea that just struck me. And when it struck me, as it was being really good. Now, this is either going to be terrific or it's going to be probably one of one of the worst things I ever did, no doubt. But and a lot of people out there are not going to recognize what I'll be satirizing, and a lot of people who do know are going to be mad, because you know because I'm walking on sacred ground here for a lot of people. And you know how I feel about my generation. I get as far away from them as I can. So this is going to be fascinating what happens, or it's going to be completely rotten. I don't know. I got to get into it myself. But let me just take you back we'll talk about the other stuff later. You know what's going on, books, things, who's going to be on the show, whatever. And we're going to go right into this absolutely ridiculous thing. But I want to mention where this starts here now and what this is all about. Okay. Have you ever had strep throat? Okay, let me say show of hands. Okay, so some of you have and some of you haven't. Strep throat is, for all due purposes, all that I know. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on television or even radio. I can. If you'd like to hire me to play a doctor in your house or anywhere else, please call my agent about the rates. But the point is this. Strep throat is not just a sore throat. It's the worst sore throat you can get. Because pus bags, that's right, and I don't know about you, but I sure like saying that. Pus bags, there's something funny about that. Pus bags form somewhere in your throat. Not so it's not just like, you're not just an irritation, which is a sore throat, or a very bad sore throat, where it hurts every time you swallow, or when you swallow things, or what have you. We're talking about, you don't want to swallow, because when you swallow, the muscles move the pus bags. And by the way, I might add, that is the name of my new CD, and it will be out shortly. The Muscles Move the Pus Bags, and it's got 12 songs at least on it. What a wonderful collection of music. Okay, so you can go get that at CD Baby, CD Adult, and CD Adolescents.com. I had this a number of times in my life. And doctors back then would tell you, this is very bad. Strep throat, for some reason or another, is connected to heart disease. I don't know why. It must be because the pus bags, let's say that together again, because it just, as horrible as it is to imagine in your head a pus bag, let's say it together. Ready? Pus bag, pus bag, pus bag. It could be your mantra if you're meditating. Let's bring Ambanamiam back and ask him, Tom, should we? Wasn't that great last week? Don't you just love it? You know, Mr. Savino will be back again at least once a month. We're going to try and get him here. And we're going to do a regular show with just the two of us. We'll be like Bob and Ray, Abbott Costello, Hope and Crosby, and Lewis and Clark, Lewis and Martin and Lewis, everybody all together. Okay, so here's the deal. I had this when I was 17 years old. Now we're going to go back. I have a very bad case of strep throat. And you just can't go anywhere, because everywhere you go, you're going to, anything you do, and if the pus bags break, and they could break just when you swallow. And that might be why it has something to do with heart disease, because the infection gets into your blood, blah, blah, blah. But I had this horrible case. And very, very late at night, or I should say early in the morning, I had this, I would listen to I couldn't sleep. I mean, you can't sleep, because every time you swallow, you just fall asleep for a little bit, you wake up because you swallow, or if you have to cough, oh my God, there's like volcanoes of, let's say it together again, ready? Pus bags, pus bags, pus bags. This is a horrible thing. But you do get over it. Okay, so I'm 17. I'm in my room, which, by the way, was painted pink. And let's not even go into that. Let's talk about this. I got this radio, this wonderful radio that I bought, and it had AM, FM, and it had this automatic alarm. It had one of these alarms on it that you could turn, the music would come on. This is a very early version of the ones that you now probably know. Are very common, you know, but the music would go on, not an alarm, on the music, on a channel, or talking, whatever it is, and that would wake you up. But I had one of these things, and I would set it at 60, I'd turn it on, set it on 60 minutes, so it would be on, and then turn off every 60 minutes in case I fell asleep. But I couldn't sleep well at all, because I had pus bags, pus bags, pus bags. I had them on the left, had them on the right, I had them up and down. There goes, you see this must be my doctor calling right now about pus bags. No, okay, we'll just hang up on that person, because no one should be calling this show at this time, okay? So here's the deal. The deal is this. I listened very early in the morning. I'm listening to a lady, this was very rare at that time, a lady disc jockey that was, she was called the Nightbird. Allison Steele was her name. I don't know if she's still around, where she goes, what she does. I have no idea. But I was listening to Allison Steele, and I was listening to WNEW FM. And this was a very fascinating time in radio, because what had happened was FM, which is every radio station had an AM and an FM band. So you had WNEW AM, you had WNEW FM. And I was listening to WNEW FM. Now, why? Now, months before this happened, there would be no WNEW FM to listen to unless you liked classical music. And people who aren't personalities, people who just said things like, and now, here's Van Cliburn. Hey, you know when I mentioned Van Cliburn, because he just died, and when I read that Van Cliburn died, he'll be on the Bone Garden list at the end of the year. Van Cliburn, this great classical pianist, who I thought was like 108. He was only 78. So he must have started playing when he was very young. And I think that's what you have to do if you're going to really be good and play well. You can't say be well. You got to be good, play well. I'm listening to Alison Steele. And Alison Steele's audience, by the way, she's on, in the deep, dark hours of the evening. And her audience is all male because she has this very sexy voice. She's a very attractive woman, too. So unlike, a lot of people who are on radio could get away with anything because I have a great voice. Alison Steele was indeed there. She was on this WNEW-FM, and what had just begun maybe months before this was the changing of the classical music FM to a progressive rock format. Okay. AM was push, punch, move along, quick, songs come in, songs come out, disc jockeys yelled and screamed, and they talked fast, commercials, jingles, everything that moved along. And FM was exactly the opposite. This progressive rock format that was initiated by a guy named, I believe, Roscoe, who was also on the station at one time or another. Roscoe, I think he came from, I don't know where he came. I have no idea. I don't know the history of this thing. But suddenly, everyone was listening to FM. Why? Because this was also the era of the album, not just the 45s. The 45s and the top 30, 50, 100 Billboard stuff, that was all AM. So that was ram, bam, 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 bam. And then you would turn to FM. And at FM, you'd get cool. And you'd get really, it turns out, for during that generation, that part, that's my generation, by the way, where, you'd hear weird tracks from groups and anything went. You could do anything as a disc jockey. And this is what the great thing about it was, you could do anything as long as you maintained a certain mood and you could play anything. And the disc jockey had total control of the playlist. So it wasn't like you had to play this, that, or the other thing. And guys who were on for hours upon hours upon hours, and gals like Alison Steele, when she was like one of the first, feminine voices to adorn FM at that time. Yeah, of course, FM eventually like just completely prostituted into a regular station type crap, dung, bomb, bomb, bomb. And then, of course, radio fell apart. But I'm going to give you a taste if you weren't around, as I try to do. During that time, what it kind of sounded like on an FM progressive rock station. How I'm going to do that? By actually doing. I'm going to channel a character, and we're going to call him Frank Michaels. My middle name is Michael. And that initials, of course, are FM. And we're going to do FM. He's going to do FM on the FM. See? And I'm going to give you an idea I don't know about the good idea, the good part of it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I can't do this seriously because ultimately the problem with this progressive rock thing is the same as the problem with progressive rock. It just becomes too long. Is long on the tooth? Should I use that phrase? It just becomes so, let's just say it, pretentious that it's funny. But if you're 17, and you had a strep throat, and you were alone in a room with only one lamp, you were sick, you had a fever, you were almost, you had chills, whatever was going on, you were trying to sweat it out, and the sexy voice was coming out. And I'm not saying, there's no way I'm going to do a voice anywhere near as sexy as Alison Steele, but I'm trying to bring you back to that moment, because radio has always had a magic to it, a magic element of being your personal personal entertainment. And so radio, listen to radio alone, of course, was the thing to do. And this particular format just took off, and soon that was all over the place. And every radio station wanted albums. They stopped doing their classical stuff, and they turned over. They got personalities, and they got people and disc jockeys to weave this format. So I'm going to channel this ridiculous character and show you exactly how, and this is really acting now. Okay, I'm really going to act here. I'm going to try to give you an idea of what it was like to tune in to progressive rock, a progressive rock station around 1967. I'm hoping that I'm at 68 or 69, because I'm actually going to play some music, and you might hear music that, okay, you know, don't hold me to like exact dates and moments and what have you. Just let me know that, I'll let you know that, I could turn this off. I can't turn this off. I need this. Okay. I will let you know what's happening. So you're just going to have to like groove into it, okay? And I'll do that by doing a commercial, and then for a book, the good old book that you can still get and put on your smartphones. And then we're going to dig into the pop, pretentious, poetic, prosaic personality, Mr. Frank Michaels. FM on the FM. This is what it was like, and all I could say is, thank God it's not like this anymore.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
Cool, slip, sound.
Give us some
just a smooth sound, just the crinkling of the universe, and the music of our times, all along right here, on FM, only FM, bringing it to you, from now until whenever. Who's watching the time? Who's counting the minutes? Who's thinking of the seconds? No one. We're just moving along in the eternal now. By the way, right now it's 65 degrees. And there's light rain headed for the area. What area? Not the area of your consciousness. No. Because there, and only there, we'll bring you music of your time. With me, Frank Michaels, FM on the FM. Into the evening hours. Full moon, half moon, quarter moon, it doesn't matter. This is the poetry. This is the way it goes. Because it's after midnight. At FM on the FM, I am the midnight rider. Me, FM on the FM, 65 degrees now. FM on the FM, riding. The Allman Brothers, from their album, The Allman Brothers, 1 FM on the FM, and it's not just me. When we're done here, and we're never really done, because most of the time, I just keep going. I turn the mic off, but I just keep going, because I don't stop. I don't stop my awareness. I don't stop my consciousness that keeps going in each groove of my life. In the groove of the FM with you, when it's always midnight, but right now it's 63 degrees in town. I imagine if you go out into the country. It might even be a little colder, or maybe you're already out in the country. What country is what you must be saying? What country? Well, if I was in Switzerland, I wouldn't be in that country. Why would it be 63 degrees? I was in Switzerland once, man, and I gotta tell you, there's a lot of legal things there that you don't get in these United States. But on FM, all that matters is the fiber of our consciousness. And as the night grows, as the night drips its evening of fluid into your brain and your mind, you know only one thing. You know that when you're here with FM on the FM, that it's true, easy going. That you and I are drunk. Oh, we're drunk. We're drunk with all the things we know. We're drunk with the days and the minutes. We're drunk with the hours. We're drunk with the little cars we used to play with when we were kids and ate our oatmeal at the table. Right here at FM on the FM, where we're doing it for you. We have our weekly poem coming up shortly. But first, we're going to talk about being as high as we can get. High on the consciousness of the air. High on the hydrogen and the oxygen of everything that goes on. Every frequency modulated beam that hits through and bounces off the ground right here on FM with me. FM on the FM. And the Grateful Dead, always dead, but always alive, circulating. Playing M guitars, American band, Grateful Dead, still alive, playing them songs one by one, getting ready to feel the country inside your skin. Do it, Jerry.
If my words did glow with the gold of sunshine, and my tunes were played on the harp unstrung, would you hear my voice come through the music? Would you hold it near as it were your own? It's a hand-me-down. The thoughts are broken. Perhaps they're better left unsung. I don't know. Don't really care. Let there be songs to fill me.
Free, we're all free. We're all free. Playing the feelings of the night with FM on the FM. 64 degrees again.
Drive down the road, my eyes don't see, though my mind wants to cry out loud.
Feeling free with cream, Reese Reese. Rising to the top. Cream, rising to the top. Feeling free. I had a little problem with the thermometer before, and just want to update you on this. It's actually 42 degrees. I guess I was looking at it backwards when I said 64, because it's really 42. It's a lot colder than that. So if you're going outside, you could wear yourself another coat. Not like me. I don't care about the temperature. I don't care about the time. By the way, it is 20 minutes after 6 in the morning. Wait a second. It's 20 minutes after 2. I added 4 hours to that time call, but we don't really care because it's timeless. It's now. It's everything we do here in this world with me and you. FM. On the FM. I'm going to remind you that Robert Bickman will be here in mornings at 10 o'clock. And though you might seem to think that maybe that's a little early, man, to be getting into this groove, to be feeling this feeling that you feel all the time when you're feeling it, it's not true. Robert Bickman will be here. He's a good friend of mine, Robert Bickman. We were on the road a bunch of years back, just me and him and a Kindle on our back. That's right. A bindle, I mean. A bindle, one of those things that the hobos have all their stuff in. All their worldly possessions, everything they own. Everything they have, man. They hold on their back. They carry around with them everything they own. This becomes very difficult if they own a large divan that they had in their living room when they lived in an apartment, because it's hard to get those big, comfortable chairs inside of one of those things and carry them around your back. But I know this much, if I know anything, and I do know some things, and it might be this much, and that is the groove of our feel, the feel of our groove. Robert Bickman and I, we really had it. We were on the road, on the dusty road. We kicked the stones along the dusty road for years and years and years. Maybe it wasn't years, but it certainly felt like it was years. We walked along. We were in the groove. We felt free. Free like cream rising to the top. Isn't that the way you're supposed to feel? Isn't that what you're supposed to do? The dynamics of your life. I'm FM on the FM, and that's where you are in the middle of the evening. Some people would call it morning because it's after midnight. We're crawling along. We're rambling along. We're moving along. We're in the evening when the darkness sets its curtain upon our head, and easily we walk through the shadows. That's what we do right here on FM on the FM. And now it's time for our weekly poem. This poem sent in by one of our local poets here at FM on the FM. I know him very well. His name is Clyde McCarloff. Clyde McCarloff. He took his name from that famous monster movie man, Boris Karloff. His name was actually Clyde McGriff, but he said, Griff? What does that mean? Karloff, though, has a sound to it. That's why they gave the name to the actor, Karloff. So Clyde McCarloff, who writes poetry, I don't know what he does for a living. Maybe he's a hack. Maybe he drives a cab. I know one time I was out there on the streets, me, FM, on the FM, when I wasn't on the FM and I was out on the streets and I hailed a cab. I actually didn't hail it. I have nothing good to say about cabs. But I did point my finger and say, hey, come on over. I was going to take a cab. And then I realized it was 2:45 for the first minute, and then $1.50 and 75 cents thereafter. And I said to myself, hey, man, I ain't got that kind of scratch. I ain't walking around with that kind of scratch. I just been out on the road kicking the dirt and the stones with Robert Bickman. So the guy said to me, are you going to take this cab or not? And I said, no, I'm not. I'm going to go see my friend Clyde McGriff. And he said, don't you know McGriff changed his name? It's McCarloff now. And I went, that's strange. How do you take that C and that K, make that K-K sound only once when it's M-C-K? M-C-K, McK. Are you supposed to say McK? I don't know. FM on the FM doesn't know that because I'm in the groove of now and I'm in the high consciousness feeling just like now. And I'm going to read that special poem by Clint, Clyde, whatever his name, I don't know. He changes it every couple of days, but he's a great poet. And this poet has sent in his poem for this week's weekly poet here at FM on the FM. By the way, it's gone up. It's 46 degrees now. And if I'm reading that correctly, I think I need bifocals. Something's gone on with my eyes, man. Something's happening in the nerves behind the pupils. Something's electrifying and blurring my vision. I sure hope it's not a tumor. But I know this right now. I'm feeling benign. Peace. Peace to you. Peace to all of us. To Cream. To the Allman Brothers. And to the Cream Brothers. All of them. I say this. We're always in a meditative state, because we're FM on the FM. Don't forget Robert Bickman. Did I mention him? Tomorrow morning at 10. 10 to 2. He's on 10 to 2. At 2 o'clock, of course, the one and the only Slide Beckhorn. Yes, Slide. A funny first name for a guy, but you know what? It really fits him. Next time FM on the FM is out in the public view, maybe you'll see Slide. We don't even know his last name, which is why we kind of swallow it when we say it. Slide Krangmengmun. But he's on the FM, too. Slide on the FM. Slide is a smooth move, isn't it? Slide. It is. But now we got to give you our weekly Krishna Merte segment. And before we get back into more groovy music, maybe some sitar, maybe some Eastern Buddha sounds, maybe some cool and beat music. Maybe, who knows, whatever the feeling is what the feeling is, and is what we go. That's where we go. But no matter what the feeling is, we remind you it's 45 degrees here, FM on the FM, at a couple of minutes after 2, coming up to 2:30, and I want to remind you also that Biff Morris will be here with the news. We will break for the news, even in the middle of the night, because it doesn't matter what your groove is, kicking and skipping along, sliding along smoothly through this wonderful time of our lives. You're still going to have to know what's going on out there, because you know what it is, man. Don't you know what it is? Sure you do. In the meantime, in between time, it's time for our Krishnamurti segment, where we give you the great speakings, the talking of Krishnamurti. Here he is now, talking about something groovy, talking about something you should know, something inside your head, man. What can we do in this world, this big world? Listen to Krishnamurti. He'll tell you, right here at FM, on the FM. <coughs> 45 degrees. FM on the FM. It's Krishnamurti, the wise, the sage. Grooving with him, man. Yeah. Get him, Krishna, baby. Get him. Give him a cough drop. Somebody give him a cough drop. By the way, this was live. Krishnamurti, about 102 years old at this time. Grooving, FM on the FM with you. Don't forget, Brickman tomorrow, too. Well, he's over at 2. Starts at 10. 45 degrees. Here's Chris.
I hope you're not as nervous as I. Each time that one talks, one goes through all this nervousness, apprehension. One doesn't quite know what one is going to say. At least I don't. I think one should be aware of what is happening in the world, and not be depressed by it, or optimistic, or pessimistic, but to observe impartially, dispassionately, what is actually going on. Technologically, the Far East is gaining more and more rapidly, advancing more than the Western countries, probably. And the economic situation right throughout the world is very shaky.
Shaky, man. Shaky. Those words of wisdom from Krishnamurti. You can read all of Krishnamurti's books. He actually didn't write them. They're just stuff he said like that. That was heavy. That was so heavy. This is FM on the FM. And now the Clyde McCarloff poem, which I have right here, handwritten. Even have stains on it, man. Stains like he put his soul, the blood of his soul, right onto this paper as he wrote it down the streets while he was begging for a dime or a nickel, while he was walking along the pavement, the hard, urban ground, grooving. Here it is. It's called Incandescent Wealth. Incandescent Wealth by Clyde McCarloff. Incandescent wealth. Doubloons of hard metal. All of the rich that come through the door. All of the fat, healthy, money-grubbing bastards. All of the large, obese dollars stuffed into their shirts, crawling beneath their skin, the pennies, the nickels, the dimes, the dollar pieces, some of them Susan B. Anthony dollars. It reflects. It pulsates. It's power. Money is power. Money is paper. Money is power. Money is copper. Money is power. Money is silver. Money is power. Silver and gold. Incandescent wealth. All of it. Greed. All of it. Power. All of it. Disgusting. All of it. Black. Like the oil that makes the paper, that makes the silver, that makes the gold. Incandescent wealth. How does it feel to be big and wealthy and disgusting? Filled with sweat, the sweat of the normal man, breaking his bones in his back, incandescent wealth. How does it feel? How? Degrees now. FM.
How does it feel to be one of the beautiful people? Now that you know who you are, what do you want to be? And have you traveled very far?
Baby, you're a rich man. Baby, you're a rich man.
Horizon and FM on the FM. Now gotta turn it over to the news and the information you need as you yawn. You nappers out there going back to sleep, you take care. You come back when it's dark. And don't forget, I'll be with you. Because I'm FM on the FM. Boots McGillicuddy coming up at 6 right after this. No static. Stay with it, man. We'll be back next time. Don't forget, visit Rendell's Record Shop. Get yourself the newest albums out. All the releases first. Rendell's over at Quarter and Main. In the meantime, I'll be here with no static. Till next time, FM on the FM. Take the groove, man. Don't smoke too much. So, getting warmer, the sun comes up. Don't forget, Brick Minute, 10 p.m., 10 a.m., something like that, I don't know. When you're having fun, don't you? Yeah. Actually, once in my life, I was going to do an FM show, a music show, because I've done some music shows on brick and mortar radio, and I was going to use this because it made sense to me. That's the I would not be that character, though. Not even back then. I was way too stony, I guess. My name is Frank Cotolo. The man whose name adorns the title of this show you're listening to, Cotolo Chronicles, and we're chronicling. Anyway, that's the idea. What went on, and although there's some satire involved there, it's absolutely true. This is what went on. And those of you who really enjoyed, well, I enjoyed it at the time. What can I tell you? Although I did not like a lot of the music, I gotta admit that. I had much broader tastes than the progressive rock deal. But we're coming up on, what are we coming up? We're coming up on the fabulous first hour. So I don't know, you be the judge of that. I mean, you know, the funny thing about it is, if it was crap, then you get an idea of how crap that actually went at that time. It's pretentious, impossible, absolutely, oh, stop it already. That's what they would do, you know. The and I used to love those pauses they made. Those pauses. Those pauses were just murder. Okay, so where are we? We're here. And we're going to be talking about, coming up, what are we talking about? We're going to be talking about Rolling Stones. So speaking of the devil, right? We have a long history with all the people who came out of that era, Rolling Stone. We're going to send another shout-out. And where did that come from, the shout-out thing? Just a get-well, healing feeling. Yeah, this is something that we do on radio, right? A healing feeling to a good friend of ours, Paul Williams. Not the songwriter, but the man who actually had something to do with starting Rolling Stone by starting a great magazine called Crawdaddy. And I hope that you're feeling okay. Certainly a lot better. If anybody goes to paulwilliams.com, I believe it's still cooking over there. If you want to give and help Paul in his journey to health, please do. A lot of people connected to that particular time. Oh, and what am I going to do? Well, I'm looking right now to see if we could jump into, where is this thing? Thing? Well, I forgot what it was called. This thing we do, that's probably bad. I know that's probably bad mail. It's probably mail from someone saying, what are you doing? What kind of junk is that? And the funny thing is, I wonder if there were people out there who were saying, wow, I remember this kind of stuff, and it really was great. And although it soothed me, not that voice, certainly, but the voice of Allison Steele, who we could probably find on YouTube if we went through it here. You could do that later. Don't forget, write it all down in your Cthulhu Chronicles notebook. Why can't I find this thing? Why can't I find the thing that we put in the middle of this show? I said, am I not prepared? No, I'm not even prepared. No less am I. Here we go. No less am I. And then we'll do some, we're going to run some funny commercials from the 60s. I mean, they're funny now, just like that's funny now, but it meant something. Cthulhu Chronicles, my name is Frank Cthulhu. The man whose name adorns the title of the program. And by the way, anything we play, their commercials are not endorsements for those products. And I don't know the temperature because this is not local like that FM. So I have no idea what the temperature may be wherever you are. In the meantime, in between time, stay with us. We're going to be talking about Rolling Stone magazine's 30 top rock and roll movie moments, and I'll explain what that means. It doesn't mean people who are playing in movies doing rock and roll. It means something else. We'll go through it here. Stay with us.
Cthulhu Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world. Keep listening.
nasty. What can you do about weather like this? Nothing. What can you do about the sore throat pain it often brings? Plenty. Take Sucretz, as many doctors recommend, for fast, temporary relief. Sucretz antiseptic lozenges help relieve sore throat pain fast. Sucretz contain the unique pain reliever, Hexyl Resorcinol. Unlike leading mouthwash and cough syrup products, Sucretz dissolves slowly, continuously releasing Hexyl Resorcinol to bathe inflamed throat tissue. Sucretz kill germs on contact to help prevent infection. And Sucretz relieves sore throat pain fast. You can eat, drink, even smoke in greater comfort. Sucretz help relieve minor sore throat pain fast. In box, roll, and cherry flavored for children.
In an age of miracle, after miracle, you wonder, what really can be miraculous when it comes to basics like food? Well, now from Carnation comes new Carnation Instant Breakfast. It turns a glass of milk into a balanced meal. Think of it. You get vitamin C, the orange juice vitamin, as much protein as two fresh eggs, as much mineral nourishment as two strips of crisp bacon, plus more energy than two slices of buttered toast in every delicious, satisfying glass. Try Carnation Instant Breakfast. You owe it to yourself and to your family. Here is a breakfast that's almost too good to be true, and yet it is. And that's a promise from Carnation. Here's a man who loves good coffee, and he's discovered a new coffee creamer that lets him enjoy his coffee even more. Coffee Mate, Carnation's non-dairy coffee creamer. Needs no refrigeration, only 11 calories per level teaspoon. Enjoy your coffee even more. Switch to Coffee Mate.
This is the girl. This is the dress. And this is the look. The fresh, lively look of cover girl Dorothea McGowan. What photographer wouldn't agree that this face, this fashion, this figure make the perfect cover for 17 magazine? Dorothea's complexion always looks so natural you can't believe it's makeup. She uses Cover Girl, fragrant liquid and powder with famous Noxzema medication to help improve your complexion. And brand new Cover Girl lipstick in stunning colors chosen by Cover Girls. Medicated to help keep lips soft, moist, luscious. So for that naturally glamorous CoverGirl look, get CoverGirl Cosmetics with famous Noxzema medication. Glamour that's good for your skin, good for your lips. Right, Dorothea?
I love everything about CoverGirl. So will you.
Hold it. Isn't that wild? I just took four flash pictures without changing bulbs. With Sylvania's fantastic new invention, the Blue Dot Flash Cube. Just pop one on any new flash cube model camera and shoot. With the Sylvania Blue Dot Flash Cube, you're always ready for the great shots that used to get away. So I bought lots of them. Maybe I'll stuff Christmas stockings with them. Oops! What about regular flash cameras? Sylvania Blue Dot Flash bulbs. When the dot is blue, the bulb is good. Blue dots for sure shots. So for regular flash cameras, Blue Dot Flash bulbs. And for new flash cube model cameras, Blue Dot Flash cubes. Sylvania Blue Dot Flash bulbs or flash cubes.
Rough war.
Have a cigarette.
No, thanks. I prefer Pall Mall. Haven't you redcoats heard? Pall Mall smokers are particular about taste.
Hi. You're just in time for the parade.
Great.
How about a cigarette? And not one of those, thanks. I just naturally prefer Pall Mall because I'm particular about taste.
Like a cigarette before we march?
Oh, no, thanks. I prefer Pall Mall. Pall Mall smokers are particular about taste.
What's so particular about Pall Mall's taste?
It's natural mildness. And you know what that means. Smooth, pleasing flavor. Nothing more, nothing less. I know what I like, and I like Pall Mall. Here, see for yourself.
Be prepared. Enjoy the long cigarette that's long on flavor. Five Pell-Mell famous cigarettes. Outstanding.
And they are mild. It's natural. They said a natural mildness. To smokers, this is a they're doing a like silent movie. Terry Tate, a taste worth fighting for. Oh my gosh! And flat. Terry Tate, a taste worth fighting for. The Unswitchables. U.S. Territory smokers would rather fight than Territory switch.
A faith worth fighting for.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves the tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
My name is Frank. It's all in the man's name. It's the title of the show. And look, that's gone. We've done that. We did that little bit. It's gone. And take it, digest it, toss it out, spit it out, whatever you want to do. We're going to move on right here and do like we're starting the show. Did I mention at the beginning? Well, we did the book thing. And, of course, the Molotov Memoir is still available digital at blurb.com. And I hope you go over to... Well, on my Facebook page, I posted a fabulous review. Would I post a bad review? There have been no bad reviews of Molotov Memoirs. But I posted a fabulous review. My man named Mark Kramer, who has refused to do reviews as the review opens, of my books for many years, because he's a friend of mine. He lives in Paris. He's lived there for ages now. And he finally looked at this book, and I knew I could get an honest opinion. And he really nailed a bunch of things about this book, which is available digital or still in hard copy, Molotov Memoirs. And I think that I was just flattered at some of the things, even though he talks about the best story that isn't even in the book. So, I mean, but you can go over. What is the name? Hold on, I'll get you. No, can't do that now. Can I do that now? I'll post it up at CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com in case you can't go over to my Facebook page, but you can, because something happened, and now they're allowing me to have friends again and give messages. I don't know what went on over there at Facebook. I know that a couple of weeks ago they said there was a very bad hacking situation, so maybe that screwed up a bunch of our various pages. I don't know. I have no idea how that stuff works or what it does to destroy the social network, but you can now be my friend again by just asking say you're my friend already, and then maybe that helps. I don't know. What's the difference? It doesn't matter. I'm not looking for numbers. I'm looking to impart some more information, some humor and entertainment to you, and certainly some links about things that are happening in the world of Cthulhu Chronicles as I chronicle. And you might too. You can get me at Twitter also. There's no problem with following me at Twitter at all. At Frank Cthulhu. Can you get any easier than that? Don't put a underscore or space between Frank and Cthulhu. So make it one word, at Frank Cthulhu. And you will get a number of tweets, although some of them you might not be able to relate to because I have to do with another business of mine. But you can get the beads of wisdom, the 140 characters of wisdom and humor and whatever you want to call it. Personally, it's just junk is what's going on over there. Have you seen the stuff or retweeting and stuff? But, you know, it's good to hear every once in a while. Just hear some, at least it's short. That's the main thing about Twitter that is great. At least it's short. You know, some people post things on Facebook and they decide to write 72 paragraphs. And nobody, now forget about how well anyone writes. Who's reading this? Keep it brief. Keep it short, which is brief, brief and short, and to the point. And you'll get your message across. If you have a message, if you don't have a message, forget about it. So you can go over to the review of Molotov Memoirs. As you just put in Molotov Memoirs, it's probably on your search engine now. Write-ish down. Take out your notebooks. Write it down. Molotov Memoirs review. Review? What's it called? It's a review. It's a book review by Mark Kramer, MarkCramer. And you'll probably get his website where it's right at the top and read some good stuff about the good stuff in a good book. Not the good book, because they would never call my book the good book. The good book, with the capital G, of course, is that book, that other book, the other book. The second part of this show I want to do is I want to go over Rolling Stone, the magazine that is certainly not just is a pop culture, true, full pop culture magazine, which spawned from Crawdaddy many years ago. Crawdaddy, of course, Paul Williams, one of the first real supporters of this show. You know, in the old days, it was very tough to get people to come onto alternative radio, you know, internet radio, alternative broadcasting. Because nobody thought it was going anywhere. Nobody cared. They didn't think we had an audience. And we didn't go by the same mechanics as brick-and-mortar radio. So they, guys like him and Professor Lawrence Lesser, who came on the show, they realized the inherent value of the audience listening to alternative broadcasting. All that to tell you about Rolling Stone. Well, Rolling Stone, of course, has become the... Although it's a weird, it's like a little magazine now, because printing, you know, about magazines and like newspapers, you know, they're like, where are they? I don't know. They're all online. They're all virtual. The bulk of what they do is virtual. Too expensive to buy, too expensive to print, but I don't want to go into that area. I want to go into this new thing that I saw, the 30 greatest rock and roll movie moments. They were into movies because, of course, the Oscars were last week. And let me read to you what Rob Sheffield wrote, if you haven't seen this. And we have 30 moments that are compiled. What are these rock and roll moments? Well, here's what it says. The movies have a long history of glorious rock and roll moments. Whether the story is about gangsters, lovers, warriors, or vampires, the right song can jolt an ordinary flick into something loud and wild. So behold, the 30 all-time greatest rock and roll moments in film history. It's according to them. Now, does it say what? We're not talking show tunes here. These are just a few of our favorite eruptions of cinematic rockiness, says Rob Sheffield. You know, when we do these list things, I always say, you know, people like, you know, you could do your own lists and then, you know, post them. I mean, you have your Facebook, that's a social network thing. Why don't people do lists anymore? Here's my top 10 books. Here's my top 10 this. Here's my top 10 that. Let's look at this. Rock and roll moments, according to him, are moments when, well, he'll explain them as we go along. You probably have seen many of these movies. Let's see how we can do this without getting, okay, to get a sound a level here and be good at it. Here we go with the 30 moments. We're going to move to, aren't we? Moment one. What do we have here? We have Windows 7. And I don't know why it's moving slowly, but it is moving slowly. Trying to turn a page on a, here we go. 30 greatest rock and roll movie moments. I'm going to go 30 down. Okay. 30 down, 30 up. And I'm going to play some of them for you. How about that? Would that be fun? Number 30, Elvis Presley. Come on, everybody. In the movie Viva Las Vegas from 1964. And this is why Elvis is the king, says Sheffield in the, not because he made dozens of movies, most of them total cheese. Not because they're all fun, full of corny scenes where he can stroll into the local gym and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to read all this. And you want to read this, you go to rollingstone.com and find it. But it says, he's the king because of the superhuman confidence he brings to every moment. It's also why he brings the seductively leotarded Anne Margaret, to an orgasmic frenzy in just a quiver in his voice. That movie is Viva Las Vegas. I wonder, come on everybody, this particular score of all the Elvis movies had some decent songs for him. Boy, no one remembers some of the songs from those cheesy movies that he made. Horrible movies, and they were horrible, horrible. Horrible songs. Let's not do that one. Let's go to number two. Now, according to this, the movie, and this is number 29, Lost in Translation. I'm not going to, I can editorialize a little bit here. I have a mix, a love and hate relationship with this movie. And I certainly, this movie actually won an Academy Award for script, and it's not a written movie. It's a visual prosaic movie. Sofia Coppola wins an Academy Award for this with who is it? Scarlett Johansson. I don't know why that name just escapes me. And Bill Murray in this movie. It takes place in Japan. Listen to the girl, it says here. The movie is called Jesus and Mary Chain Doing Just Like Honey. Does anybody know? I don't even know this, but I've seen the movie. I'll play a little bit of it for you, and we'll see. It says, just listen to the girl. This music is what it sounds like inside Scarlett Johansson's heart at the end of the movie. A heart that's like a honey-dripping beehive full of lust and anguish and guitar feedback. Just Like Honey has the same Phil Spector Be My Baby beat, which you might remember. Hey, has anybody seen the coming attractions to the David Mamet written and directed HBO movie about Phil Spector starring in the lead role, Al Pacino? Wow. Anyway, Jesus and Mary Chain. This is a punk love song to make the finale seem inspirational, as if all of Scarlett's wounded romanticism is ringing out loud like the Jesus and Mary Chain's guitars. In real life, Scarlett also got to sing this song with the band for their 2007 reunion. Really, I didn't know that. And you know what? As much as I remember seeing this movie on and off and what have you, I remember some. I don't remember some of it or what have you. I'm just going to give you a little bit of this. From the end of the movie Lost in Translation is this. Jesus and Mary Chain. Remember this final scene where Bill Murray's in the car looking ahead and he sees her? Is this where he sees her? Oh, we're going to play the whole movie because, you know, you can't do a movie on TV here. Yes, he sees her and he goes to get her. And then what? When does this start? And they fight, they kiss. And they know that they may never see each other again. And so that goes on, all that stuff we said. And then we get this song. Oh, yes, I do remember this. This is a great rock and roll moment, according to Rolling Stone. I have no idea how to turn this off, either. Well, you can actually make it louder here. That's right. Look at this. How do you turn this off? Oh, okay. Okay, there's Jesus and Mary Chain. The Chains, ladies and gentlemen. Let me move next door to you. Have you met Jesus and Mary? The Chains, they live next door. A great rock and roll moment, according to this. And lots of, you know, these songs, that's what they're talking about, too, is using rock and roll songs that already exist. They're not written for these movies. It'll be a whole other territory. Let's go to 4 of 31. Why is it 30? Well, 4 of 30. The movie is Public Enemy. Oh, no. The group is Public Enemy. Fight the Power. In the movie Do the Right Thing, 1989. This is the Spike Jonze movie. It says, hey, Brooklyn, the summer of 89. You know what's funny is no, it's not funny at all. I don't know why that I was already gone for, 11 years from Brooklyn. Brooklyn, the summer of 89, city heat, race riots, trigger happy cops, crack, poverty, pizza, and a boombox on every corner blasting hip-hop. Spike Lee sets the scene right in the streets of the hood, kicking off the action with Rosie Perez dancing through the credits to this song, Public Enemy. And now I have to play it right now. Here it goes. Public Enemy from the movie. Just Do the Right Thing. Spike Lee
Wow.
This is at the credits.
Funky drummer, music hitting your heart, cause I know you got soul.
Brother, this
hey, listen if you're missing y'all, swinging while I'm singing.
Hey,
giving what you're getting, knowing what I'm knowing, while the black band's sweating in the rhythm.
Rosie's really, I remember the beginning of this movie. Wow, she really, I wish I could dance like that. Maybe I can. That's the way I want to dance. See, like that and like, what's his name? What's his name? The poor departed. You got his name. All right, we don't have to play the whole song. You get the idea. And you probably know the song and the record better than Frank Cotolo does. Know it. Public Enemy. I don't even know the group that much, but I don't know a lot of these rap groups. Okay, that's 28. We're moving up now. 27 of the 30 greatest rock and roll movie moments. Now, here's a movie I didn't see, and I always get confused with the original, because it was originally a movie called Mad Love with Peter Lorre back in the 40s. Kind of a horror movie. Excuse me, a scary horror movie or whatever. This is what? This is called, what happened? I want to know where the text is. Oh, here it is. Year Bitch. This is the name of the group. Year Bitch. 1995. The record's called, the song is called The Scratch. The 90s-est moment of all time, according to Rolling Stone. The 90s-est moment of all time. Drew Barrymore plays a psycho teen from Seattle. Every 90s movie had one of those who finds salvation in punk rock. I don't know, maybe I saw part of this. She goes to see her fave Riot Girl band, screaming along with the lyrics, I will have my cake. And I will eat it too, just like you. Banging her head, eyes closed in rapture. Nothing can ruin this moment of rock and roll bliss. Not even Chris McDonald. So here from the movie Mad Love, a little bit of that. The Scratch by a Year Bitch. Is that her? No, she's singing along. I guess that's actually the group. Yeah, bitch. It's an all-girl band.
Hey now, hey now, hey now, hey now. Swarm. More hey nows.
Wow. Okay, so you know, I don't have my own list of 30. Now here I am telling you, I don't have my own list. But what's good about these things when we talk about them is it'll make you think of other movies where that happens, where these things come to you. Great moments. You might not even like the entire movie, but they're talking about movie moments where the visual and the sound and the whole feel, texture, and beat of the movie, and I don't mean beat, musical beat, the beat of the movie, the dynamics and the drama comes together. Year Bitch. I don't have any of their albums. I don't know anything about them. The movie Mad Love. Here's six. Tulane Blacktop. Oh, here's an interesting, fascinating movie. Moonlight Drive is the song in the movie Tulane Blacktop. This was an attempt to make James Taylor a movie star. And what I found fascinating about this movie was that his co-star was Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys. And this movie is a very strange movie, I think. I've seen it a number of times, and I still can't tell you, like, if someone says, you know, how about Tulane Blacktop? You ever see that? Yeah, I did. What's it about? I don't know. It's about 90 minutes. It's a very strange thing. And you get through this movie with their non-acting. James Taylor's just terrible, and I think he's done interviews that where he's told people, like interviewers and people, how terrible. And his completely nowhere went his film career. In fact, I think the fascinating thing to me about the movie is I was not surprised, because I thought Dennis Wilson could have been a great actor, because his singing was so acting, and his drum playing was acting. You know, he was the Beach Boy, the really wild Beach Boy. And he was actually the only one who surfed and stuff. But anyway, in this movie, Tulane Blacktop, this is 1971, James Taylor and Dennis Wilson are in a 55 Chevy, a couple of rock stars acting in Monty Hellman's classic indie film, The Ultimate Existential Road Trip. That's what I mean. This movie just sits and goes. This movie is very much the tempo of a progressive FM radio. So if you got through that catastrophe of a satire that I did at the beginning of the show, you get an idea. But the song, of course, is Moonlight Drive in Tulane Blacktop. Now, just playing these songs doesn't work on radio, of course, because you're not watching, and you do have to experience the visual as well as the audio. So you're not going to get it. Get the full thing, but you can go look at the movie, or you could go, if you have Netflix or whatever it is you have, you can look at it. What is it? They're a pair of hippie con men rolling into a new town, cruising the local hot rod spot, looking for a sucker they can lure into a high stakes drag race. They find the tough guys hanging out in the burger joint parking lot. And in that parking lot, blasting is this song, by the Doors, and we all know it, Moonlight Drive. Or you do know it, or you don't know it, then just look it up. We're going to move on to... Now, here's a group that I don't know a lot about, and I don't know this movie either. Home Sweet Home. Oh, no, that's the name. No. Wait. Home Sweet Home is the name of the song by Motley Crue. And... what's this? The movie Hot Tub Time Machine, 2010. Can you imagine this? One of the greatest moments of all time, of rock and roll moments of all time, says the Rolling Stones. Takes place in a movie that came out in 2010. It was some crazy, funny movie. It says here one of the true cinematic masterpieces of our time. This is perhaps the film's most poignant scene, with Rob Corddry as an ordinary loser who can only live out his fantasies in the privacy of his own garage, singing this song. So, Okay, how that fits into the entire drama of this Hot Tub Time Machine movie. He handles his inner torment in true metalhead style. He gets mega wasted and pretends he's in the group Motley Crue. I couldn't, if my life depended upon it, hum for you one Motley Crue melody, no less. Can I even mention? Yeah, I know them. Of them, I don't know them. I know of them, and I. What's amazing, but a void, and what's worse, an empty void, comes to me about their repertoire, or what. So I don't know. Let's go. Let's move on. We got a bunch to go here. The Pogues. Wow. This movie, 1991, it's called My Own Private Idaho. The Pogues, the old main drag. River, listen to this cast. River Phoenix, Keanu Reeves, James Russo. Anyone else we know here? Flea. There was an actor named Flea. Was he a rock guy too? Flea. F-L-E-A. Don't know this at all. Write these down if you want to see them, or go later on to rollingstone.com and see this. The coda to Gus Van Zandt's devastating tale of young American hustlers in the heartland. River Phoenix stands on the open road looking at the wheat fields under the spacious skies of Idaho. He says, "I'm a connoisseur of roads. I've been tasting roads my whole life." The accordion and banjo fade in as if a ballad about Irish kids turning tricks in London could be an elegy for the American dream. Rest in peace, River Phoenix. Have a nice day. I want to hear a little. I've never heard this song. Let me hear just a little bit of this.
"For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption."
And this. Wow. Wow. What are you going to do? You're just screaming.
"But he that soweth to the Spirit..."
Where is the song?
"...the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us know..."
See, I'm watching it, so it's unfair. I don't know when the song comes in. Here comes the song. Here, Idaho.
"I'm a connoisseur of roads. I've been tasting roads. My whole life."
Uh-huh. They're just showing the landscape. This is the panoramic view of the open, flat lands of Idaho. And I'm still waiting for a sound, a song here. Hello? Here, is this it? The Pogues, P-O-G-U-E-S? The old main drag. Huh. Let's move on to 23. Because 23, Iggy Pop. Oh, hold on. Iggy Pop, Lust for Life. 1996, the movie is Trainspotting. I didn't look at this list before. And I am at a dead stop with some of these movies. I have not seen some of these movies. I've heard of this. So Iggy Pop song, Lust in Life. In real life, junkies are the second most boring people on earth. It's true. But Trainspotting's Lust for Life, opening hijinks somehow make these Scottish drug addicts seem like a barrel of giggles in this movie. That's Ewan McGregor and his criminal-minded pals. Wow, Ewan McGregor playing... That, 1996, pals run down the street ducking the law, laughing at the fools around who choose life. So this is a big up song or what? Big record? Oh, yeah. And these guys are running around.
Choose life. Choose a job.
Choose life.
Choose a career.
Yeah.
Choose a family. Choose a fucking big television.
Oh, hello.
Choose washing machines, cars, compact displays, and electrical tin openers.
Oh, boy.
Talk about rebels, huh? Kid gets hit by a car and he just keeps going.
Choose good health, low cholesterol, and dental insurance. Choose fixed interest mortgage repayments. Choose a starter home. Choose your friends.
Okay, well, maybe you've seen that movie. Maybe you want to see it. Trainspotting. I don't know much about that. Let's go to, we got a lot more to go here. What are we doing, going to 10? Number 22, Otis Redding, Try a Little Tenderness, from the movie Pretty in Pink, 1986. A lot of people don't realize that John Cryer is in this movie, the guy from Two and a Half Men. Now, this is a big movie for him. And this was a big movie, period. But it was a big chance for him to move into more hefty roles. Hefty. I couldn't think of an adjective. Into more serious roles. No, well, I'm not even serious. Bigger roles? I don't know. Otis Redding's Try a Little Tenderness, of course, an incredible piece of work on its own as a record. Much better than the version later done by what's-her-name who died. Come on, how do we not remember her? Me and Bobby McGee, and I can't remember her name. Can you believe this? Anyway, some of the most awesomely terrible dancing ever captured by a camera crew, and that's just part of what makes this a perfect rock and roll moment from the perfect teen flick. Everybody Loves Pretty in Pink for all the new wave John Hughes put on the soundtrack. The Smiths, Echo, and the Bunnymen, OMD. But the best moment comes when John Cryer's Ducky serenades Molly Ringwald. Whatever happened to Molly Ringwald? With his rendition of the Otis Redding classic, the Duckman's goofball moves cannot remotely be described as cool, funky, or even human. So that was just a fun moment. And that one you have to see to believe. So I'm not even going to play again. You want to take some of these songs out if you've never, I remember heard them. I heard Otis Redding. Certainly a unheralded talent in the rock and pop business. Although a lot of people knows Modified. We've modified? Look at this. Internet Explorer's modified this page. Why? I don't need your modification. And here's the Doors. This is the second time the Doors show up. Apocalypse Now, the controversial and much discussed, which would be controversial. the movie Apocalypse Now. And this is probably the only time I was ever able to handle this song, this record, the Doors record, The End. Let's see what Sheffield says about it. Vietnam movies seem to get all the cool songs, but it's only because Francis Ford Coppola showed them how. Apocalypse Now, 1989, wasn't the first great film to use this song, The End. It was used in Martin Scorsese in 1968. But as The End crawls through Martin Sheen's war-ravaged brain, Apocalypse Now taps into the late Jim Morrison's Heart of Darkness. Now that's a little literature. I don't even know what they call that. But of course, if you don't know it, Apocalypse Now is based upon the Joseph Conrad novel Heart of Darkness. And so he says when he writes it that Martin Sheen, it's based on, it's not, the book's not about the Vietnam War, of course, but there was it's a real example of neo-postmodernism. If you go get the book Heart of Darkness and read that, it's a little book, good read, fast read, really good. About the guy going up the river, and Kurtz, who's the same character names, Coppola took it and adapted it, put it into the framework and the scenario of the Vietnam War. And so it says here, it brought the posthumous Morrison cult to a new level. A couple of years later, Jim appeared on the cover of Rolling Stone with the best headline ever. Here's the headline. He's hot, he's sexy, and he's dead. Let's move on. I just absolutely abhor that song. I just don't like it. I don't care to spend my life listening to this Talk about pretentious. That's one of the songs that might have been played on FM. Probably was played. How about Bauhaus, a group whose name I have constantly misused. This movie, 1983, was fascinating. The Hunger. And Bauhaus's song is called Bela Lugosi's Dead. There are so many vampire movies out there, but none of them has a beginning anywhere near as cool as this one. It starts in a New York goth club where the children of the night groove to Bauhaus's Bela Lugosi's Dead. Vampire power couple, the power couple vampire was a Catherine Deneuve and a David Bowie. Moved through the dance floor looking for tasty looking trollops to seduce into a night of four-way bat sex. They pick up a couple of foxy black leather goth punks and move them back to vampire, blah, 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 blah. And this was a fascinating movie. There's a great lesbian scene in this. Catherine Deneuve and I forget who else. It's a very classy thing, mind you. I didn't say that for any particular other reason. Let's move on. The Hunger. Not to be confused with Hunger. Another book, another story, another everything. We move on now, as the internet keeps modifying this page for some reason, to number 19, the Rolling Stones Tops, in the movie Adventureland, 2009. I don't even know this Rolling Stones. I stopped knowing of Rolling Stones songs sometime way back there. I don't remember this song. The Stones have inspired countless classic screen moments, from Tell Me in Mean Streets to Satisfaction in Apocalypse Now, I Bid, to I Am Waiting in Rushmore, and Gimme Shelter is the Robert De Niro of Stone songs. Every director wants to put it in a movie, okay, whether it belongs there or not, because it never fails to make a big impression, but it takes real imagination to dig up this lost a gem from side two of an album called Tattoo You. Like all the music in Adventureland, a movie I don't know, so I can't tell you anything about it. It sums up the 80s suburban nowhere ambiance of this trashy Midwestern amusement park. Tops, the name of the song, plays in the background as mall rat Queen Lisa P. Margarita LaViva. I don't even know her. I can't believe how... Oh, Jesse Eisenberg is in this. Plays a geek, of course. He says, and one of the guys looks at this, and she's really hot. That ass is a higher truth. It's not the best little saying I've heard about asses, but there's that one. Let's move along, because we're running out of time here, I guess. So we'll have to move along. I'm amazed at how many of these I don't know. What's this one? New Order. The group is New Order. The movie is Dreams Never End. The song is Dreams Never End. The movie is Carlos. Carlos does for 70s terrorism what Goodfellas did for the mob, chronicling the epic rise and fall of real-life criminal empire. Edgar Ramirez plays Carlos the Jackal. I got to see some of these movies. And, you know, I might actually be turned on to some of these songs I don't know. Okay, these are the best, remember, of all time, rock and roll moments. Well, you know, I mean, we don't have that. I would say a rock and roll moment could be something that doesn't have a rock and roll song. It predates rock and roll, you know, using rock and roll as just an idea, as a theme, you know, cool, perfectly hip, whatever. The Yardbirds? Oh, Blow Up, of course. Now, this one I remember, 1966. This is right about the time that progressive rock radio was getting started. Stroll On is the song by the Yardbirds, who at that time, I guess, had Glenn Beck. Jeff Beck. Ay, ay, ay. I'm telling you, that's how far in my head is the name, and I never wanted to say that other name again, but Michelangelo Antonioni's tour, Antonioni, wow, I didn't get that. Michelangelo Antonioni's tour of Swinging London breaks open with this scene. David Hemmings stumbles into a mod club where the Yardbirds are playing during the brief period when both Jimmy Page and Jeff Beck were in the band. Blow Up is a real freak movie. And Michelangelo Antonioni was way out there. And if you've never seen it, go see it. We got to move on to this. Well, okay, they've been modified again. I wonder why it's modified. Isaac Hayes, theme from Shaft, in the movie Shaft. Hey, look at that. They actually, now there's a song. There's a piece that was written for the piece itself. Do I have a connection to this? Yes, I do, because Richard Roundtree was one of the most wonderful men I ever met in my life, Richard Roundtree. And he's the star of Shaft. I don't know whatever happened to Richard Roundtree. What a wonderful, warm man. I mean, a very erudite, practically, was he. The wah-wah essence of pimp strut funk, Richard Roundtree's Shaft, swaggers out of the subway and through the sleaze of 1970s Times Square, stopping the traffic cold. Wah-wah-wah-wah-wah. Remember that? Wah-wah-wah-wah-wah. Richard Roundtree, Isaac Hayes. So that's the only one that actually had, because even when we talked about Viva Las Vegas, and they didn't use the song, which I thought was a pretty good song, Viva Las Vegas. Next, number 15, Country Joe and the Fish doing a song called Section 43 in Monterey Pop. And there's a movie about that's just a playing movie. It's not even a movie. The film is full of unforgettable moments. Okay, but it says this is unbelievable. Waking up the sleepy hippie kids for a bright new day in the California sunshine. Now we're going to move on with only 7 minutes that we're going in. Well, maybe what? Maybe 8 minutes. Next. That one. Kashmir. Led Zeppelin's Kashmir from the movie Fast Times in Ridgemont High. This is Amy Heckerling's, I believe, first movie. Oh, Amy Heckerling, who I knew back in the old Hollywood days, through someone else. But she was one of the New York University film students that went on. And I think this was her first big movie. She actually, and this is the movie that hurled Sean Penn into the forefront. So we can say Amy Heckerling, who later on did things like Look Who's Talking, and so she found him. So of all the things she found, I mean, someone else would have found him too, but that was Sean Penn. Kashmir, right before Ratner's first date with Stacy, who is the young Jennifer Jason Leigh, Damone, gives him a 5-point crash course in dating etiquette. That ends with the most important advice. When it comes down to making out, whenever possible, put on side one of Led Zeppelin 4. Meant to be a joke, but apparently taken rather seriously. Oh, I got to move along here quick. Here's another guy who's like, okay, guy. Really nice guy. Alice Cooper. School's Out from the movie Dazed and Confused. Richard Linklater's classic portrait of small town Texas. Alice, a wonderful guy, but I never liked a lot of his music. Killer Priest from Then Till Now. The movie is Ghost Dog: Way of the Samurai, 1999. Oh my goodness! The Wu-Tang Clan's RZA worked with director Jim Jarmusch, giving this cult classic crime film a haunted hip-hop soundscape. Wow, I don't remember that at all. Elton John is next. Tiny Dancer in the movie Almost Famous. This is a delightful little film, don't you think? I know a lot of you have seen Almost Famous. Something about Tiny Dancer brings the drama. It also provided the love theme for a very special episode of WKRP in Cincinnati. Isn't it funny that that comes up? WKRP in Cincinnati actually had that progressive rock feel, that pretentious rock, and I tried to simulate, or at least satirized, I should say. I didn't try to simulate it. Cameron Crowe was in this, Almost Famous. I was a kid who was a young Rolling Stone writer. He's on tour with a band. And he's a total outsider and a kid. This is what's her name's daughter is in this. I forgot her name. The band guys sit in stony silence, pissed at each other until the Elton John song on the radio coaxes them to sing along. Tiny Dancers. You don't have to agree, and I don't have to agree with this. Spinal Tap, Stonehenge. And this is Spinal Tap. This, of course, was in the comic movie, the Rob Reiner comic movie, where they're supposed to. Aren't this is the one where they were supposed to have gigantic statues, replicas, and they turned out to be small because they got them backwards? Okay. Funny movie. And a bunch of cool guys. Donovan's, whoa, look at this. Yes. Donovan's Atlantis in Goodfellas. I always thought this was a great misuse. I never understood why Scorsese did this. But if you watch Martin Scorsese movies, you're always going to find these rock and roll songs. Have you seen The Departed? Aside from that great, jumpy Irish music that they play, oh my goodness, there's all this rock and roll stuff. Of course, Casino, the movie Casino, his movie Casino. Tons of pop stuff in this movie. We're trying not to keep repeating directors on this list, but Martin Scorsese is the exception to every rule. See, including this one. In fact, you could pack the entire list with Scorsese films. This is what I'm saying. But in this one, Goodfellas, his most famous example, Donovan, Atlantis. This is when they played Atlantis when... what's playing in the jukebox? The one only comes to shock. Oh, the blood, right. They kill this. They stomp and kill this. Other actor is always in Scorsese films. Pesci, De Niro, stomp this guy to death. They kill him. He's a made guy and whatever. And they play that song. And I never understood that at all. Let's go here. I'm going to have to move along really quick now. Quickly. What are we doing? Maybe I should go to the top and come backwards. I don't know. Let's see what we're doing. I'll look at the time at the same time I'm doing this. We had a little trouble. It had a little trouble moving from page to page here, which I don't understand. My Internet Explorer is really slow here now, and I know you're dying to see the number one moment, and I can't even get to this one. Internet Explorer is not responding. What does that mean? Come on, why aren't you responding? I'm here. I'll do it again. Here we go. Right, Chuck Berry. Right. Chuck Berry, you never can tell from what? Oh, that great scene where, that is a great scene. What's his name? John Travolta. John Travolta. And, of course, Uma Thurman at her hottest. The movie Pulp Fiction, which was the other movie Quentin Tarantino just won another Academy Award. That was the other one. Creedence Clearwater Revival, Looking Out My Back Door from The Big Lebowski, 1999. Oh boy, I got to really move along here now. The Faces, group I never liked. Ooh La 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 from Rushmore. Let's move on. Andrew Gold, Lonely Boy and Boogie Nights. Well, that was an interesting movie, huh? I hate the word interesting. There you go. Boogie Nights? Oh, boy, I'm never going to make it, am I? I'm going to have to go, really fast. But the problem is that I could go really fast here and start talking it up and ending it, but here's what's happening. Maybe I'll just leave it so that you could go see the rest of them at Rolling Stone. Boogie Nights? Oh, come on. What's wrong with this? Andrew Gold, the Lion, right, in Boogie Nights. So go to the next one. Can you go to the next one? Okay. Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody in Wayne's World. I guess that's pretty well known. How about Peter Gabriel, In Your Eyes, in the movie Say Anything. Never heard it. Never saw it. I don't know. These are the greatest, 30 greatest rock and roll moments, okay? The Beatles, A Hard Day's Night and A Hard Day's Night. Well, there you go. That was that opening scene where they get stomped on. What did I do? How did I go to number two? Wow. Was that a mistake? Or is that a printing mistake? Or the number one? Here it is. The Ronettes, Be My Baby. This is the number one. Let's just go to the number one. This is where it all begins. And really, this is as far as it could go. With the moment, director Martin Scorsese invented a whole new way to use rock and roll to tell a story. Right in the opening scene of this Little Italy street crime tragedy, late at night, Small-time gangster Harvey Keitel hears the Phil Spector teen romance of Be My Baby playing in his head. It's the soundtrack to his memories, all his dreams and fears. The movie Mean Streets, which someday I'll tell you a story or two about that particular movie. I might. Who's that?
That's Mr. Cattolo over there. You know what I mean?
We don't have a rock and roll moment other than we can call this every time we end a show with Bon Fry, as we did normally. A Y2K plus a 13. Thank you very much for being with us and bearing bearing with us on this. We got lots of things coming up. Dr. Andrew Waldaw is going to come back in a couple of weeks. Heather Drain will be here to talk about some weird movies, good movies, underground movies, some really good crap stuff, and all sorts of things are going to be happening. Go check it out, CattoloChronicles.blogspot.com. Get to me at Twitter, get to me at Facebook. Remember, I was one of the first people saying all that stuff. When now everybody says it at the end of their show. Good night, Mrs. Ernst, well, wherever you are. Go buy License to Skill. Go buy Molotov Memoirs. What else do I have to say? I have nothing more to say.